Number of years ago, during the time of the Tsars, the Russian ambassador came up to a veteran missionary in Constantinople, in the area of Turkey that would be Istanbul today. And he said, quote, "I will say to you frankly that my master, the Tsar of the Russias, will never suffer Christian missions to set their feet in the Turkish Empire." Well, the old missionary looked at him for a moment, then replied, "Your Excellency, my master, the Lord Jesus Christ, will never ask the Tsar of the Russians where he may set his feet." And then he went on with his mission, unintimidated, and God mightily used him. He was confident in the living God whom he served. Bible Christianity has always been marked by believers who were so convinced of what they believe and had such a real relationship with their Savior that they were passionate about giving him glory, being loyal to him, and to take his heart, which was to reach the world for whom he died, and give their lives to get the message out. That has always been the heart of any movement for the Lord Jesus Christ, and how desperately we need that today. The well-known statement of John Wesley, I think, bears repeating. He helped lead a revival that swept across the British Empire, came into America, caused the First Great Awakening, and kept America and the British Empire from having what happened in the French Revolution. Very strategic historical time, but it came because of fearless men. He said, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and desire nothing but God, and I will shake the world. I care not a straw whether they be clergymen or laymen or such, and such alone will overthrow the kingdom of Satan and build up the kingdom of God on earth." Unashamed, how desperately we need this year as we have gone forward on our knees, as we have endeavored to be in step with Jesus, to so walk with him that is our heart cry. Acts chapter 4, if you'll turn there with me. If you remember our going forward on your knees, much of that came from Acts chapters 1 and 2 a couple of years ago. And then last year we looked at the tremendous miracle that occurred when Peter and John met the lame man. And here Peter, who had denied the Savior, was able to boldly look at this man who had not been allowed Jesus to touch him, because Jesus would have gone through that very same gate. But now the ascended Christ's person was in Peter. And when he said, "Look on me," he had the authority of heaven behind him. He said, "Rise up and walk." And that man rose up, praised the Lord, and became a testimony. 5,000 people were saved. But you know, any work of God is going to stir up the opposition of the world, which is controlled by Satan. So chapter 4 is where our theme is coming from. And we're going to be looking at, just quickly here this morning, but a little bit more detail later, the different facets of this chapter. After the great harvest, verse 4 of chapter 4, you have the rulers that were very upset by another miracle being done. The Sanhedrin was made up in its power by the Sadducees, who did not believe in the supernatural. So this was a deep affront to their leadership, to their respect by the people. And they brought them in their midst and caused them to have to face the council. And we see here a very bold Peter and John in front of this council, unashamed. And let me just read some of these verses to give us context. In verse 5, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or why by what name have ye done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,'" That was a jab. Whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And God's people said, amen. That is a great stand that he took. And here's our theme verse. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The first thing I want us to look at today, and we're going to show the four categories that will mark the year, and I'm just going to touch on each of them here this morning, unashamed prayer. The reason I had Dr. Jim preach receiving before you receive from 1 John chapter 5 last week was to lay the foundation for this point. If you've not had a chance to hear that, I urge you to do so. Now, they had been with Jesus. Yes, they had been disciples. They had spent those wonderful years. But I'm telling you, the reason they had the boldness here in Acts 4 that they didn't have back at the end of the Gospels was because of the filling of the Spirit and was because of the time they spent in communion with the resurrected, ascended Christ. Yes, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus that very day. These men prayed together. They had tremendous times of seeking the Lord, and these men knew God. They were rejoicing in their fellowship with him, and because of that, they could pray in an unashamed way. We'll never be unashamed with the world. We'll never be unashamed in our witness until we learn how to so get a hold of God and so understand what he has for us and know the will of God that we can be bold and unashamed in our prayer. I know it seems a little maybe odd, but we need to be unashamed with God before we're going to be unashamed with men. We ought to have such an open relationship and such a confidence in who he is and our right to go to the throne of grace and to know what his will is and to claim it in a courageous way that we can then turn around and take that message courageously to a lost world that needs it. We're going to look here just for a moment at the great prayer that came after this confrontation. We're all familiar with it. And we see how not only the disciples prayed, but how the whole church prayed. That's why it's been such a joy over these years to see the entire church come into a spirit of prayer. And I am deeply grateful for that. But look with me, if you would, at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had sent unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Here we see an absolute confidence in their prayer that God was going to do something miraculously through them and around them for the cause for which they were called. Now, this is very important to get a hold of. They came, and this was the church praying. I don't think it would have said if it was Peter. These were the people crying out. They knew the scriptures now. And they understood what the theme of last week was, 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. They didn't come hoping God would take care of them. They came doing business with God, knowing that God was going to do a miraculous work to further his work. And so they prayed, I'm just going to touch on this, for the display of the glory of God. Back in the first part there, verse 24, with one accord, with a oneness, by the power of the Spirit of God, they reminded God that he is the Creator God, he is the Lord. That's the word from which we can transliterate despot, all absolute ruler. He is the Lord of all. He made heaven and earth, and the world is raging against him, as David says in Psalm 2, and the kings of the earth and the rulers were against him, but God was in control of it all. And so we pray, first and foremost, we want God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the will of God, as was mentioned last week, is not a fatalistic will. God has a perfect will for this planet, for each one of us. It's not his will that any should perish. He wants every one of us to be perfect in Christ Jesus. He's wanting Jesus Christ to be glorified. He's wanting the fulfillment of why he created the world to be accomplished. But that will is based upon faith, the action of the will of those that know him, that great mystery. And prayer is all about God's people accessing God's will in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. And my friends, the Spirit of God, as they use the Word of God, and through the situation that you're facing, the Spirit of God and the Word of God will be used in our hearts as we seek him to convince us of that which he wants to do. And the minute we get a hold of that, and it's for the glory of God, friends, that's when prayers get answered, and they get answered powerfully. And we want people to know that our God is the one on the throne. He needs to be seen as the almighty sovereign. He needs to be seen as the powerful Savior. All of these things are mentioned here. Jesus, who God allowed this to happen so he can be our Savior. By the way, we need to, as we pray for his glory, I must add this. We must know this all-powerful God that we're wanting to glorify. A little boy was finishing his bedtime prayers and with his mommy and holding her tight. He said, "Mama, I like you better than God." Well, that was a shock. She did not like that at all. And she said, "I know it's important for little boys to love their mommies." But she said, "Now, why do you love your mommy more than God?" And after a little pause, he said, "Because I can hug you." I got good news for you. We can have a better relationship than that. These people knew their God. Their prayer time. That's why that hour with God is so important, folks. It's not just going through the motions of prayer and asking God for things, though he loves to give them to us. Prayer is all about meeting with God, the worship of God. As we go through that whole hour, it's all about the different facets of our relationship with God. And in that, we realize that this God loves us, therefore we love him, and we want his will done, and we are going to give of our lives so that he will be glorified. That becomes our heart cry, and that leads to the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Listen, prayers become powerful when prayers are all about the fulfillment of the Great Commission. In the midst of these kind of pressures, there is great authority. Matthew 28:18. The Lord Jesus in that Great Commission said, "All power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth." David Livingston was surrounded by some powerful enemies as he was making inroads into an area there in Africa. And he was going to flee that night, but then God changed his mind. And he tells of the fact after he was praying, he says, quote, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And then he goes on and says, "It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor, so there's no end to it. I will not cross furtively tonight as I intended. I feel quite calm now, thank God." But you know, that's what happens. When your heart is the Great Commission, you realize there is all authority. And this whole matter of being unashamed and bold is all about freedom from ourselves. As Philip Brooks says, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your tasks. That is the way early Christians prayed, and that is the way God's people pray today. We need to develop, I am so burdened, that we learn to pray not only so faithfully as so many of you are, but with an understanding of God's heart, an understanding of His authority, an understanding of the need for His glory to be seen, and to get a hold of what God's promises are and what His will is, and begin to pray with great boldness. So we need to apprehend the promises of God. Luke 11:8, I say unto you, though he will rise not and give him, speaking of the friend that was knocking on the door, needing the bread at night for the friend that had come, but because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And that word importunity means shamelessness, almost being impotent, just coming boldly, I need the bread. Obviously, we always have reverence for our God, but I'm telling you, when you get on the ground of truth, when you get on the ground of the furtherance of the cause of Christ, when the Spirit of God has led you and the Word of God is clear concerning that for which you are praying, we need to get shameless and bold about it. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. It's not because of us, it's because of the finished work of Christ. We are in Christ, and when we have the heart of Christ, Christ turns to the Father and says, that's my will. And my friend, when that transaction takes place, we're in. Okay, we are in. It's a glorious thing. But you note, they didn't pray for deliverance. They prayed for boldness. They did not want to be ashamed. And they prayed that God would heal and that signs and wonders would be done. You see, those are the subjective things we pray for in the advance of the gospel, in the advance of the will of God. Of being jealous and passionate about His cause, then God will put it on our hearts to pray for miracles. That's not the main thing. That's only part of the work of doing what God wants. But we're still in the same age of Acts chapter 4. And God is, as we have seen, God does great things in these days. And we need to learn to have great confidence, learn to pray for things to happen that will glorify Him, not get what we want. You see, the kind of prayer, the kind of miracles that God wants us to pray are things that we don't get satisfied from. We are thrilled because God gets glory from. We are selfless in those prayers. We are led by the Spirit. It's all in the cause of the Great Commission. And frankly, it is amazing when people know that this is God's will, they can become bold in their prayers. And I have heard great men of God pray almost in a way that embarrassed me. God, you have to do it. But they weren't saying it for the sake of them. This is what you had said. And they were that strongly on the ground of faith. Well, in this year, I'm very burdened that our revival prayer meetings on Saturday night from 6 to 8 become stronger. That's a sacrifice. Let me let you in a little secret. For the pastor, that's a real sacrifice. But it's not anymore. Because there God ministers to me, there God gives me leadership, and there God gives me the confidence He's going to work on Sunday. But you know, that weekly prayer meeting that we've had now for about 16 years, I think has been the reason that God has done what He's done. I know it is. And, you know, important things never come easy. There's lots of things that are tough on a Saturday night. Would you consider coming some, meeting with God on a regular basis for your church? Then there's the men's prayer meetings every month. Oh, what a wonderful time we've had together as men. If you've not had a chance to come, but you're free on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, I urge you to come join with us. I share my heart very honestly with you, and then we spend some very significant time in prayer. You remember during the land crisis, it was that men's prayer meeting. We got a hold of the fact God was going to do it, and it was that afternoon that God miraculously gave us $100,000 in the midst of all of that. Those were special times. I'm so thankful so many of you stay for the afternoon of prayer and fasting. We have those periodically as God calls upon us. And those have been precious. And when you hear about those as we announce them, I would encourage you just to say, I'm going to be involved in that. We're going to start something new. Once every month, we're going to have our fellowships break off on Wednesday nights during the regular prayer time and actually pray together and ask God to do miracles in the fellowships. We're going to update our 24-hour prayer chain, and I am so thankful for how many of you are solidly in that, and we'll do that on October the 22nd. And then the hour with God. Oh, I urge you to spend that time with Him.
As the Lord works in our hearts about being unashamed in bold prayer, let me encourage you to use the Christ Walk Journal. If you haven't already received the original version, we have the men's and women's available in the lobby, and this resource helps guide you in your 1 hour with God on a daily basis. Another resource that goes along with the Christ Walk Journal is a Today Page Finder, and I use this in my own personal journal to help me keep where I'm at in my prayer time and flip to the section with the prayer helps. These are available also in the lobby and really do help you in the hour with God. We're encouraged today to announce 2 brand new resources, 2 new parts of the Christ Walk Journal series, and that is a The Generation Youth Edition. And these are available in the lobby also, and this is especially designed for young people that identify with the generation. And then one new resource we're very excited about is the new Elementary Christ Walk Journal called The Discovery Zone. It goes along with our Elementary Division Focus, and this journal is well designed for young people. They'll be excited about it. This is also available in the lobby today. I'd encourage you to stop by after the service.
The Hour with God. We'll be talking about that over the next few weeks. Number 2, and I'm going to quickly finish up these just to give you the heartbeat of these days, Unashamed Proclamation. What were they praying for there? They were praying for boldness to do what? Evangelize. Bold evangelism. And the God immediately answered that prayer in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. Openness. Freedom from self. Totally able to give the word with power. It was not them speaking. It was the boldness that had come from the Spirit of God, enabling us, frankly, to be a mouthpiece for Christ. That's what evangelism is all about. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, when the persecution came, they went and they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the world. Vance Havner says, "We do not have a secret to be hidden, but a story to be heralded." Charles Spurgeon says, "Our great object of glorifying God is to be mainly achieved by the winning of souls." Acts 1:8, when we receive power from the Holy Spirit, it wasn't for the purpose of all the wonderful things we enjoy, but to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And these men do it. Women did that. Philip Schaff, who is probably the most well-known church historian, talking about the post-apostolic church, said, "While there were no professional missionaries devoting their whole life to this specific work, every congregation was a missionary society, and every Christian believer a missionary, inflamed by the love of Christ to convert his fellow man. Every creature told his neighbor, the laborer to his fellow laborer, the slave to his fellow slave, the servant to his master and mistress. The story of his conversion as a mariner tells the story of a rescue from shipwreck," and on he goes to talk about all of the things that occurred. They were willing to be used for the gospel. Now, folks, we had a tremendous time on Wednesday night talking about evangelism. The two things, the reason I'm taking time on these 2 of the 4, prayer, number 1, evangelism right behind it, are going to be the 2 areas Satan is going to battle you the most. Now think about it. We all agree we need to pray, right? Why don't we? Everybody here, you're in a soul-winning church. You've chosen to do that. Why? Because you believe in it. Why don't we? It's because our flesh doesn't like it, and Satan plays on that. It's a battle. That's why solid choices have to be made. Now, training is important. That's why we're going to train everybody again all through our fellowships. And it's going to be very, very important. But evangelism is a decision that has to be made because we love the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God. Listen, if the Spirit of God is in control, then you will evangelize. For many people, Spirit filling is a mystery. And the reason it's a mystery is because we say no to the Spirit about being a mouthpiece for Jesus. And we shut down the power of the Spirit in our life. It's very important. One of the first things I said when I came here 31 years ago was that I can preach on all kinds of things, but if I do not lead the church to soul winning, those things won't matter nearly as much. Very important that we have that. And then we need sacrificial discipleship. That's part of the Great Commission. You find the meeting together. You go to Acts 2. They were meeting daily together. And God gave great power for the apostles to witness and teach, we see in the latter part of chapter 4 here. And so every convert needs a knowledge of the Word of God to grow. Every believer needs to sacrificially give the Word of God. You know, in the human realm, like the Harvard Review, Business Review says, everyone who makes it has a mentor. Well, in the Christian life, it's a hundredfold. Anyone who's going to really make it has a discipler. The Lord used Paul, not only in evangelism, but in 1 Thessalonians 2, you ought to read about his discipleship. He was gentle among them, as a nurse cherishing her children, and he imparted his own soul. He labored day and night in travail so that they could know the Word. Dawson Trotman, the great founder of the Navigators, which was used for years in discipleship, had won many, many people to the Lord courageously, but picked up a man one day, and that man started to swear, and he tried to witness to him, and then they looked at each other. They knew each other. One year before, he'd led him to the Lord, picking him up as a hitchhiker almost in the same place. And it hit him. I have not discipled. Started going back to people he had led to the Lord and realized many of them had tanked. And so his life became one of intense discipleship, and so should ours.
Our church exists for the purpose of joining believers together so that we might grow in Christ and go for Christ, spreading the gospel in the networks of friends and families in our area. That's the Great Commission. And that's why I encourage you to make participation in our adult and youth Bible studies a priority this fall. Each week, we're gathering at specified times and locations for a 20-minute session of prayer and training, followed by outreach visits in soul-winning teams of two or three individuals. We'll visit neighborhoods with special invitations. We'll visit top five individuals whom we are praying for. We'll visit prospects who've expressed interest in our local church, looking to give the gospel and establish outreach Bible studies. Every believer can be a confident witness as we step out in faith together. Don't remain isolated. Don't remain defeated. You can bear fruit this fall.
We are very excited this fall about several outreach opportunities, and we want to let you know about that here this morning. The first one is 1 month from today. It's our Good News Sunday here at Falls Baptist Church. We're going to be contrasting the fact that today there's a lot of bad news and fake news, but we have the greatest truth, the news that could ever be declared, and that is that Jesus saves. And over this next month, we'll be inviting people as we go door to door, have new move-in visits, and also challenging you to pray about inviting your top five, and also friends, family, and even people you may have met from this summer in Vacation Bible School. We're trusting God for a great harvest that day. Just a week and a half later, on Tuesday night, October 9th, will be our International Carry-In Dinner, a part of our missions conference that we'll be having this year with Baptist World Mission. We believe that night has incredible potential to be a great night to invite people that we know from different cultures that are here in our community to be here that night. I trust you'll be praying now about who you can invite. Just a few weeks later, on November 5th, will be our Sunday School Friend Day. And we want to encourage guests from our area to see what God's doing through our small group Bible studies. We'll be talking more about that as the weeks progress, but we want you to be praying about how God can use even that Sunday to enable people to see what God's doing through our small groups. And then our Veterans Dinner. On November 10th, Friday the evening, we will be asking God to give us many veterans. We have been blessed as He has given us scores and scores, hundreds ultimately, of veterans over the last few years that we've been able to see touched through the message of the gospel. And this year we're praying not only for a wonderful turnout, but for a harvest of souls. Join us this fall. Be a part of what God's doing, and we can't wait to see how God will give us a harvest as we look to Him.
Christmas at Falls Baptist Church is always an exciting time of the year, as it is the culmination of 3 months of intense outreach. Along with the thrilling Christmas Spectacular, we will be unveiling a brand new adaptation of A Christmas Carol. We are excited about the opportunity of thousands of unsaved people being touched with the gospel this year. But this can't happen without all of Falls Baptist Church jumping on board and helping. In 2 weeks, on September 17th, in the evening service, we will be letting you know how you can help out. Don't miss that all-important service. We are believing that God will give us the greatest harvest ever this Christmas season.
Amen. These are opportunities that gives you an inroad into the community. That's why they're spaced out throughout the fall, so that we can be bold in our discipleship and then purposeful in our evangelism and then purposeful in our discipleship. Number three, let me just mention this, the unashamed partnership that we have with God to speak out for what God wants us to do. There was an outspoken loyalty to Jesus here. In verse 10, we read that. He said, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." There's a lot of intimidation today by our culture. And there's even intimidation among believers because there has been much compromise. And so it is very important for us to know the truth and so have a walk with the Lord that we have an outspoken loyalty to Jesus Christ. We need to be identified with Him. Oh, I tell you, when I was in the Soviet Union, during the time it was the Soviet Union, the greatest joy I think I ever saw was with those people who were absolutely thrilled to be identified with Christ. They lost their jobs. They were imprisoned. I met with several people who had just come out of prison. All they could talk about was the great opportunities to give the gospel within the prison. They never could have done it had they not gone to prison. It just was a totally different mindset than I had ever had. I knew it should be that way, but it was a thrill to see it. And we need to have a strong, strong testimony, but also a courageous declaration of the truth. You know, the Great Commission says that we are to teach how many things? Observe them, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And folks, political correctness, no matter what context we're in, has to go. We need to be kind, wise, but spirit-led. And it is time that we as God's people are unashamed of Jesus and unashamed of every part of God's word, no matter how counterculture it goes. Because that's where the blessing is. That's where the growth is. And in our witness and in our testimony, in our stand, things that we decide, in the declaration of truth here so that individuals and families can have God's blessing and power in their life, we need to be unashamed about who we are in Christ.
Don't miss the 2018 Victory Conference that we've entitled Bold Grace. Most of us here at Falls Baptist Church know that we as a church have been on a journey now for several years. 2 years ago, some of you will remember the Bended Knee Conference, particularly because God began to lead us as a church to spend individually extended times with God. Many of you in this room would admit that and confess that that was a life-changing moment, and it continues to be life-changing as you spend time with God. Last year, we had the Christ Walk Conference, and we all learned that as we learn to depend upon God in prayer, it begins to affect our life. We begin to live a life of dependence upon the Lord Jesus. And that brings us to this year, because this year, we are going to learn that as we begin to walk by faith, there is going to be resistance and pressure against us. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples began to experience persecution after they had spent extended times in prayers in Acts 1 and 2, experienced the day of Pentecost, the blessing of Acts 3, and the miracle and the effects of it. But in Acts 4, there began to be pushback or persecution. and they learned the truth of bold grace. In other words, we live in a day when a culture is completely antithetical to us as Christians. So we want to learn at this conference how to believe God bold in our praying, taking the will of God and not giving up that ground, bold in our walk with God. We are different. We're not of the world. And living a life that the life of Christ and not being ashamed of that. And then, of course, bold in evangelism and discipleship. So I hope you'll make plans to join us for the Bold Grace Conference, where we learn to boldness that is supernatural through the power of God, and it is graced with His presence.
Point number four is unashamed in persecution. It does come. It is coming, but it's okay. In fact, the pushback is what holds back many Christians, but ought to be that which causes them to move forward. The greatest times in the history of the church have always been during the times of opposition. And William Penn said, right is right, even if everybody is against it, and wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. And that's becoming more and more, again, a very major thing. And so these men here, chapter 5, they rejoice to suffer for the cause of Christ. These four areas, prayer, evangelism and discipleship, the matter of proclamation and the matter of partnership with God and taking a stand for His cause, and then unashamed in persecution, are going to be dividing out our year. And folks, I trust you'll join me in the journey for authentic Christianity. We need to get free of ourselves. We need to get free of what everybody else thinks. Our nation and our world is plunging right now into some of the greatest dangers I've ever seen, and we know it. But God's on the throne. And there's no greater peace, there's no greater joy, there's no greater purpose than to be lined up with God, unified with Him, in His cause, in the local church, and to begin to see what God's doing literally around the world. There are mighty movements of God many other places. But I don't know about you, I'm a missionary to America, and I want to see God do it here. And may God make us unashamed in these days. Let's bow for prayer. As we've gone through these subjects quickly and shared some of our vision with you quickly here today, who today would say, you know, Pastor, I'm a believer. I'm so thankful. I'm on my way to heaven. I am thrilled about what God has done for me. But I find myself really not engaged in powerful prayer that's unashamed. Or maybe you know that the area, as we've been dealing with for the last few days, of evangelism or discipleship is weak in my life and Satan's getting the upper hand. Or maybe it's the matter of taking a stand, being open about what you believe, having a testimony on the job, having a testimony with your family, articulating the truth, being unafraid to help people grow in the Lord. Maybe you've been under some persecution and you've let yourself falter and you haven't counted it joy. But you say, Pastor, here this morning, I want to join you. I want to become that kind of authentic New Testament Christian that's unashamed. I am unashamed of my Savior. I want to learn freedom for myself. I want to stop being clogged up with all the issues that I face. I want to start living that thrilling life of being lined up in the will of God. In some way, God touched my heart, and I'd appreciate your prayer. I want to see that happen in my life. Would you just slip your hand up for a moment till I can see it? God bless you. That is a thrilling sight. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Maybe there's someone here, and you'd say, you know, I don't know for sure I'm saved. The first thing you got to be unashamed about is the fact that you know for sure you've trusted Christ. Not yourself, not works, not religion, not rituals. It's all about Jesus, that He died for you and rose again. And you'd say, Pastor, if you were to ask me if I know for sure that I'm saved, what would happen to me when I died? I could not tell you for sure. And I'm burdened about it. God's dealt with me here also this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? Oh, we'd love to pray for you today. Anyone like that? Just slip it up nice and high. I need to know I'm on my way to heaven. God's been working in my heart. Now, Lord, I pray You'll work in hearts. Thank You for these dear folks. I pray that You'll bless in a wonderful way in their lives in each of these areas. Lord, we've covered them quickly today, but you can begin that work. We're just in the beginning of a journey together on this matter of being unashamed. And I pray every facet of this will come alive in our lives. Give us mutual understanding and unity of heart. Pray for great spiritual victory in hearts and lives. All these that raise the hand, bless them now, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen.